So I'm standing there in front of my lamppost going, what just happened? And I could hear clear as day, my guide said, you just aligned with your higher self. We needed to move you a little to the right. There you go. It was absolutely incredible. It just was amazing, amazing moment. It made no sense from a logic standpoint or even quantum physics, perhaps, but it happened. I know it happened.
Welcome to the Consciousness of the Way. I am your humble servant and Sifu, Taoist Master Sun Ching, and I have an incredible guest today who is basically operating in all dimensions at once, humbly, in more definition, would be considered a past life energy healer, but I believe there's a thousand more facets to her realization. But let's start with that title. Welcome, Wendy Rose Williams. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm very, very excited to always share space with incredible beings that are working to raise the conscious collective and understand that, you know, this is how things change. Mm-hmm. And they're altered in such a positive, profound way that frequency continues to raise. And yeah, I think it's evident for this year, especially. But yes, I would love you to start with sharing with the audience a little bit about your backstory and how you got here today.
Certainly. My backstory is I had an NDE back in 1997, and that was a big part of what started having me wake up to a much bigger reality and helped really remove that veil of amnesia that we do have often, and it can be for good reasons. And then there's also good reasons when it's time for that to disappear and when we're just done with it. So that was a big start to things and kind of set the stage for me having the good fortune to connect with angels and be able to really start to open my clairaudience wonderfully, where I could just, in a very meaningful way, a very loving, just supportive way, start to feel much more support and wisdom and love in life that was there available for me by me being able to go within and be able to hear the angels and other guides and ascended masters would come over time. So the next big step was in 2010, I met a soulmate, someone I had known many times in many, many lives in many places, just like Brian Weiss's Many Lives, Many Masters title, perhaps. And we recognized each other at a really deep level and had this soul recognition of, oh my goodness, I've got to catch up. And we were just finishing one another's sentences. And he had the contract to a soul contract, which I simply see as an agreement that we've made before we incarnate of something our soul wants to work on. Mm-hmm. So we have these different agreements in place of what someone else is going to help us with so that we can accomplish raising our vibration, raising our frequency, just. And in my specific case, that contract, that first contract, was to wake me up spiritually, which he did by, as I said, that soul level recognition. And he introduced me to Dr. Michael Newton's Journey of Souls. And the minute I was reading that book, it was like this clarion call. It was like a gong being rung of, here's the truth. Here's what you didn't know you were looking for. Here's what's going to help you balance up your life. Here's what's been missing. And I didn't even know was missing. So that's what really got things started, got that pot off the back burner onto the front burner and started really adding some heat and some ingredients to it. when you're making that delightful super stew, and really got things started in 2010 for me.
Wow. So,
questions, is that making sense?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you sort of develop these, what I've sort of categorized in a blanket sort of realization over the years. When I started my journey many decades ago, the systems that we use within Taoism activate pretty much everything that most people desire. Well, 100% of what people are looking for when it comes to the internal alchemy or access to higher levels of consciousness, whether it's clairvoyance, psychic mediumship, channeling, healing, any of the above. Mm-hmm. I mean, it comes in all different forms, and we have specific titles for that. The clair senses that I would just put in the same category as everything else, a sensory perception, is really something interesting. When you really, from my personal opinion, and generally it's been pretty consistent over all these years when I switch that stuff on for people, in giving them just a specific practice that activates the energetics, there's this sort of heightened, sort of overwhelming realization of what you thought wasn't there is there, and there is so much more there that you have a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all sort of in front of you. I attribute it sort of like I was using this particular method and literally woke up to icons on a computer screen, and everywhere I looked, it had images, colors, information, and basically I just put my intention to something, and it would distract whatever it is that's necessary will be handed to me. And so the clairaudience, or clairaudio as you put it, is sort of like a sensory perception that is a little bit more refined for most people. It's attainable for anybody, but the actual access of that sensory perception seems to be sort of like so distant for many, maybe due to the layers of their unconscious. There's variables, but is it obtainable by anybody? Absolutely. Is it something that most people have this word that they put in front of it to achieve it, which is what they call work, which is sort of like an unconscious block in of itself? So when you obtain that sort of level of awareness, which is really exciting that you share that with me, it becomes sort of like put into a category where, you know, if you're not around people or a discerning, affirming processes to truly understand what it is that you're receiving, it could be considered perhaps maybe a sort of some degree of psychic, psychotic episode. And so I would love for you to share with the audience the inner workings of your communication with the spirit world in that sense, because there's never enough clarity when it comes to things like this. And
I really agree with what you're saying. I think waking up spiritually, let's use that term for lack of a better term, it can be frightening, it can be isolating, it can be just discombobulating, because it's your worldview changing. It's just your belief system falling away. And for some people it's more gradual, and for other people it's very abrupt. And it just can feel very, very different. So some of the steps that happened for me, I literally could feel, and there is that expression that sometimes our guides, our higher self, can help us by shaking us to wake us. So I think the near-death experience for me, like for many people, was to really get my attention and to share information with me and to let me know what was available to me, which was to feel that amazing unconditional love and wisdom and support that was there for me, and also to tell me that I wasn't on my life path. And I was 36 years old at the time. I took that very seriously. I was just really horrified to hear that. You know, no one wants to hear they're not on their life path. So that was a big part of the start for me. And then once I met that soulmate at the right time, because fast forward, there were a number of years in between, and other things needed to come into play. And what started happening was I went through this profound 6-week period. I felt like I was just being shaken. It's like if you've ever made any kind of recipe where you put something in the Ziploc baggie and just shake the heck out of it to blend it all together. It's like, what is going on here? And I could barely function. It was like, just get to work, eat a healthy meal, drink some more water. I just need to sleep. I just need to take care of the kids in the house. It was just like bare bones for about 6 weeks or so. My sleep was incredibly interrupted. It was hard to eat with this just constant shaking. And it felt like an internal earthquake. And when I was able to get help from a healer, from a spiritual teacher, she said, wow, this is just raising your vibration and frequency on steroids. It's like, that's why you're feeling it. It's kind of like perhaps what an astronaut feels like when they're just really going up, or perhaps a pilot if they're really taking on G-forces. I haven't had those experiences, but I can imagine that must be what that feels like. So that was all happening. And then I went through a period of opening my Kundalini energy. And I see Kundalini as being just our own life force energy returning to us in a really major way. And I barely knew what Kundalini was. I tried to Google it. I couldn't even spell it correctly. But thankfully, you know, found a little bit of info. And then I also had the common sense to turn it off and to stop Googling it. Because what I was reading was, at that time, and this was a good 10 years or so ago, a lot of it was frightening. And that just did not make sense to me. So thankfully, I had enough common sense and enough of a sense of myself of what was happening was good, and it was happening for me, not to me. Because I think when we can ask that question of why is this happening for me, even if we're going through something really challenging, especially when we're going through something very challenging, it gets us out of that victim mentality of why is this happening to me, because we've got to step up and be in that place of we're creators, we're powerful creators and co-creators. Things aren't being done to us against our will to hurt us and harm us and punish us. It just doesn't make sense to me. So I did get interested in Kundalini. I didn't know. I did a little bit of searching. I had heard that there were Kundalini yoga teachers or instructors or people that could help you open your Kundalini gently, just safe and sane, to prepare the body for it and prepare the energy for it. I couldn't find one near me. I couldn't find a class or a course to go to. So what I found instead was Tom Kenyon's The Magdalene Manuscript, which is a beautiful book. And there's an accompanying CD to the Magdalene Manuscript, which is designed specifically for helping you open your Kundalini. And I'm sure it's meant to be done many times, slowly, beautifully, but we've all got our own path. So what happened for me instead, as I listened to that CD the first time, and I just thought, well, I'm just going to lay down and meditate like I normally do. But I just had an instinct, no, I'm not meant to lie down. So I sat cross-legged on the floor of my bedroom because it just felt like, and I didn't realize I was grounding myself more and I was seating myself more for that energy to really rise up my spine. So I listened to that CD it's back in the day, it was a CD. Everyone's like, what's a CD? but I'm listening to it. And it was like I was three sentences ahead of what he was describing, of that energy coming up your spine. And a lot of people can visualize it as two beautiful, powerful serpents, a divine masculine energy and a divine feminine energy down at the base of the tailbone spine. And I could see them and feel them going through all up through my chakras. And as I said, it's like I was several sentences ahead and I was barely 5 minutes into it. And so much energy burst out of the top of my head and went straight up through the bedroom ceiling that I went fully, fully out of my body. And it just felt ecstatic. It felt amazing. I'm like, there we go. There's my energy. And I went up higher and higher and I could just see the gorgeous planet below me and so much light. And I felt so free and so wonderful. And then I reached a certain point where I was like, oh, that's a little too far. That's as far as I'm meant to go. So I could feel myself go, whoom, right back into my body. And then I'm just trying to process this, because it was so beautiful, it was so powerful, it was so otherworldly, so unexpected. And I did have a really funny thought, because I knew I had blasted this huge hole through the roof in the house. I was absolutely convinced there was physically a hole. And I was starting to think, how am I going to get my insurance, my homeowner's insurance, to pay for this? Because clearly I need a roof repair. And then about 30 seconds later, I open my eyes again. I'm like, oh, I see. It's not physical. It was me really going up in my vibration and frequency and just really, really bringing my energy back in. But at that moment, if you'd asked me, Wendy, is there a huge hole in your roof and there's like an explosion from the inside out? I would have said, oh, absolutely. So it just took a moment to settle in. But there were so many experiences like that that I felt blessed by, but it also took time to understand them. It took time to unpack them, because they were so not just spiritually transformative experiences, but they changed everything in my life. And I just had to, you know, work that through of how does this fit with my daily life? Because I still do have my daily life of, I have these wonderful teenage daughters and I have a 9-to-5 job that I really like, but there's just so much going on in addition to that. So how do I balance it? How do I balance it all up? But that's what happened with the Kundalini rising. That was one of the important steps of raising my vibration and frequency and just getting more in tune with myself as a spiritual being.
Now the Kundalini, so you consciously used the Kundalini as an entry point? Like, so you were performing Kundalini specifically, some type of like access to the processes of Kundalini?
Yes, it simply was a beautiful sound healing type, Tom Kenyon, Kenyon, if you're not familiar, if you're listening.
I may have heard of him, but he seems familiar, but I can't place.
He has an incredible voice. He's a sound healer, and he's got an incredible 4 or 5 octave voice. So just these sounds and toning and meditations, et cetera, it really is a sound healing. And this one was specifically designed to help people gently, slowly open their Kundalini over time, because most people do that over a period of years. And evidently that wasn't my path. I was evidently ready to go. I hadn't recognized the other signs of my Kundalini had been rising, and I'd been having some very strange physical experiences of feeling like a serpent was uncoiling, feeling like I had literally hissed and spit a couple of times, which was very strange to me. I'm like, what is that about? That is very, very odd. And I did remember getting angry one time of something. I read a post from a friend on social media, and it brought up a lot of anger, more anger than I knew I had. And I literally, not very ladylike, but I literally just, this energy came out of me, and I just unintentionally just hissed and spit on the computer screen because I was so angry, because we have to release emotions that don't serve us. And our guides are just working and working to have us do that in a safe, appropriate way. I do remember at the time my cat was lying on my lap because I'd just been, you know, sitting quietly at the computer. So he thought, well, you know, that's a great time to sit on her lap. We do this all the time. Or he'd be on my, you know, near my computer screen. I scared him so much, he just jetted off my lap and, you know, ended up two rooms away looking at me like, what is going on with her? Because of, as I said, we've got to release energy that doesn't serve us and find an appropriate way to do so. So I think that was part of that process. Mm. And also when I would go to put my seat belt on in the car to drive somewhere, I would just feel this energy again. I was like, what is this? Because Kundalini energy, it can feel sexual. And that's okay. We're physical beings. It's nothing to be ashamed of, but just the act of putting that seatbelt across and it going across my body, I'd be like, whoa, I think my teenage hormones are coming back again. What is going on here? So in hindsight, those were some of the Kundalini rising. Again, nothing to be afraid of. It's your own beautiful, amazing energy. I did work with a spiritual teacher after that very rapid rising, because it did cause for me. And again, I'm not projecting this on other people. Doesn't mean it's going to be an issue for anyone listening. It did cause me some backache and back pain, I think, because it was so sudden and so big. Many people, your Kundalini rising, it's more like a beautiful big elevator. Picture yourself in this magnificent, huge elevator in like a 100-story building. And you get to decide. And you can ask for ease and grace if you feel like it's just rising so much and so quickly, and you just want to push the stop button, get off on floor 12 for a while. You don't have to shoot all the way up to the top of the building like I did in my analogy. Mm-hmm. And you can always get back on. You know, you decide. You take care of yourself, and we know more than we know. And we know how to take care of ourselves appropriately.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Just bringing people's attention to that. have you experienced anything to that magnitude since then in relation to your everyday cultivation?
That was a huge one. There's been probably a half a dozen or more of those. A big step that helped me really raise my vibration and frequency and just come more to terms with myself as who I'm meant to be, and just incorporating that spiritual being, that soul within the everyday life, was aligning with my higher self was very surprising. And I was not fully physically aligned with my higher self. And I'd had multiple and healers and Reiki masters and different people point that out to me. And I was like, well, how do I get aligned with my higher self? Because I see my higher self as my own wonderful soul. And I believe my soul should be fully, my higher self should be fully in my body. I believe we should be best friends. and very, you know, wonderfully integrated. So I kept getting messages from different people. Go to the right. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know, make choices in integrity, you know, do the right thing. What does that mean? And I had two different wonderful friends at the time who were psychic mediums tell me that. And then they would just smile and they're like, I'm not supposed to tell you anymore. You're going to figure it out and it's going to be wonderful. And right at that same time period, I had a few photos as a free offer of, I believe it's called Carillion photography that looks at your aura around you. And it was a software. So, and you could put in a couple photographs of yourself and just see what you could see. And I took a picture of myself alone. I was on vacation. I was happy, relaxed, outside on my dad and stepmom's deck overlooking the lake. And this is just this great picture. So I put it in there. It was very interesting in hindsight because you could see this beautiful big golden glow around me, but it wasn't right around me. It was off to my right. So, that's interesting. And I didn't put two and two together right at that time. That was my higher self. And as I said, I wasn't quite aligned with it. So I kept praying, meditating, how do I do this? I want to do this. I'm open to doing this. And what happened was hysterical. It was the most mundane, perfect thing ever. It was a Monday night, time to put out the trash. And I lived down a long gravel driveway. So it was like 275 feet to drag the big rolled cans and drag them through the gravel and get them all the way out to the driveway. So I did that. I moved the three cans out and I'm like, oh, okay, great. There we go. Trash is done for the week. And I'm walking back up to my front porch and the sun was setting and it just, you know, it's just one of those like nice moments, like all's right with the world. And I'm almost to my front porch. And all of a sudden, and there was a large lamppost had just come on because it's on the automatic timer and it's over about 12 feet to my right. So it's like the other edge of the driveway. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I'm not reaching my front porch. It's like I was gently, carefully thrown 12 feet to the right. And I'm standing right in front of the lamppost going, how in the world did I get here? And my first thought was earthquake. Did an earthquake throw me? And I'm like, no, I know what an earthquake feels like. I live on the west coast of the US. I have felt those. It's a rolling feeling. And there, this was like, if I could replicate that move, you would be hiring me for professional sports everywhere. So I'm standing there in front of my lamppost going, what just happened? And I could hear clear as day, my guide said, you just aligned with your higher self. We needed to move you a little to the right. There you go. It was absolutely incredible. It just was amazing, amazing moment. It made no sense from a logic standpoint or even quantum physics, perhaps, but it happened. I know it happened. And after that, things started to come together more easily. There was more ease and grace, more fluidity to things. And another step, I should stop there. Questions on that, or should I keep going?
Well, no, I mean, observing people's entropy levels of any realization, where's the starting and finishing of anyone's experience is so individual. It's so subjective, right, to their own realization that, you know, I just hear, you know, dozens of stories every day that really get me excited. And then there are correlating points of validation that we can all sort of have a consensus with in relation to similarities in how we acquire these sort of states of consciousness. So it's like there is no, I always remind people, there's no right or wrong way up the mountain. There's a
correct
infinite amount of ways up the mountain. What I do tend to find is using more sort of like indigenous rituals within Taoism that attends to thousands of years old, there's definitely a correlation and a repeatable correlation that generally in some way, shape, or form transmutes into someone's version of their experience. Mm-hmm. And so moreover, you know, things like, you know, you mentioned you sort of feel it before it happens type of thing. That's sort of a very interesting magnetic component to how I generally teach people, because I'll take them through what I define as an experience and call in spirits and energies, and they experience them before there is a spoken word. And I mean that inaudible layered realization, my attention, intention, working with other dimensions, mm-hmm. it's being replicated through their physicality that makes mm-hmm. it real to them. And that's kind of like the most important thing. And then you mentioned reference to releasing emotions. Mm-hmm. I find that a very interesting thing, because I mean the fundamentals of you know Chinese culture today was generated by a little guy by the name of Yellow Emperor, who was about, you know, 10 or 20,000 years ago, basically constructed through the whispers of the universe, the Chinese culture as we know it today, i.e., for example, the foundations of Chinese medicine were derived from his inner workings and the exploration of internal alchemy. So the universe sort of like gave him all these points of reference that created that internal alchemy, and that was really one of the things that he was very well known for, was understanding how to generate and cultivate these energies by transmitting them with a relationship with, of course, the universe, i.e., you know, within Taoism we do star stepping, other sort of rituals of that nature that sort of create this divination frequency that can be transmuted through your physical body to, you know, ascertain some level of understanding or of a greater consciousness, being, you know, developing mediumship, psychic abilities, channeling, all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's all these variables, and it comes in different forms. And when you share that with me, especially on your own journey of realization through your guides, through without a specific sort of roadmap, which I love, that is realizing or coming across these things, and there's this common thread that sort of ripples out through all platforms when it comes to this type of stuff, and it comes in its own way. And so, you know, I really agree with you when it comes down to the emotional content. That's something that I teach people, and generally you can read someone's, well, I teach people how to read people's auras. Mm-hmm. In 3 seconds, you will have someone's mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual state, and the information is just there. Once you understand how to read it, it's very consistent, and you go through all the major organs, the energy centers, and you have like this profile, and someone goes, "Who the hell are you? You don't even know me." Mm-hmm. And it's just information. And I think that one of the biggest components to the healing process, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, has everything to do with the now. Understanding, you know, all things are realized now, not in the future, not in the past, but this present moment. And then how do you equate that or quantify that? You need some type of connection of palpability. It's not a fleeting thought in your mind that you're sort of playing with. You need to be able to repeat it and have some sort of tangible access that makes that real to you. It's like you can go through a very mild sort of thought processes that, oh yes, I'm seeing angels, I'm feeling this, I'm doing that. how does that relate to your reality? And your reality can be however you want it to be, but it's like, how do you transform it? And I mean, when it comes down to this sort of
integration,
right? And it comes down to this sort of space of what I define as healing. You know, I really love your title, Intuitive Energy Healer, because there's a degree of I don't need someone's consent or understanding of the energetics. I mean, people come to me every day with grandma's dying in the hospital, my father's got cancer, all this kind of stuff. And it's a collective of events. The title, the place, the person, it doesn't matter. When you realize you are the universe, it's done. It becomes realized instantaneous. So you think it, and that thought, if you truly identify as the universe, and that's where a lot of this stuff comes in. It's like, oh, I did this healing and they did it a great job, and then a week later they were back to where they started. This is a common occurrence for most energetic healers, is this repeating pattern of, oh, it's not me, it's you. You didn't, well, it's everything is energy. The truth of the matter is that the universe doesn't have a moral compass. The way we perceive things as human beings, we're creating this sort of like reality on the whim of our desires and our needs to validate us as individual. And so that very moment is critical. And, you know, when you talk about intuition, that is in my opinion, the greatest access point to all things, because within Taoism, we refer to the Tao as the mother of all things. So when you access and understand the true nature of the evolution of the universe, the cosmos, it all starts from this little thing that we call the womb or the uterus, and you create this incredible realization. It's funny, in numerology, we speak on numbers within Taoism. It's very powerful. The highest number is 9. It's very coincidental that it takes 9 months to create a human life. It's very coincidental. That charge that you and I just appreciated together is another realization of that. It's like, oh, hang on. Whew. We're both in the same attunement, because, you know, we're just there. We're feeling this alignment, this realization. So, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, I was talking with Tom Campbell about this yesterday. It's not, you know, when it comes to sort of awakening, like Kundalini from a Taoist perspective is more what we call the Wuji, infinite Wuji body, which activates the sacred infinite flower. And so you sort of create this.
The lotus flower was definitely part of it. Yes.
Right, right. And so it's really funny how universally somehow that comes into play, but it's more, okay, the chemistry of doing this stuff. And, you know, I've had the, you know, I've been sort of been given a reputation of breaking chairs, which is generally what I normally do when I'm experiencing this type of stuff. Now, 30 years in consciously, I've got it down where, you know, I don't have to destroy everything in the room at the same time, but it's just a physiological response to something that is metaphysical, and it tends to transmute itself. And, you know, you become sort of more having the ability to harness it how you will, when you will, with whoever you will, is part of that mastery. And that mastery is sort of like the biggest component. So most of, you know, the experiences that I have start at the lowest level, which is the physical, right? But most people transmute and condense these thoughts, feelings, and emotions that I coin as the three ingredients to your reality. That's it. A thought, feeling, and emotion. And what you do with that will determine whether you thrive or you die pretty much within this reality. What's the length of your experience in this reincarnation if you believe in that? And so people tend to, you know, that's a big thing for Taoists is not, well, I would call it immortality, but you want to lengthen. Longevity is the key element. Lengthen the physicality for as long as possible to level up in this game that Tom calls the large consciousness system. It's a system, and it's really hard for people to digest that because you and I have had very organic experiences that give us all these different dimensions, and things are transmuted at a level that we can understand and accept and transmit to others. May it come in the form of an angel, may it come in the form of a spirit, an energy, an experience, an awakening, a vision, clear senses of all different kinds. And that's sort of like the journey of all people. It's sort of the glimpse. And a glimpse is what most people get. They get the glimpse and then they're looking for, which you had admission of, I went on this, I couldn't find it on Google. I couldn't find, you know, even today, you know, there are more legitimate, and you know, 30 years ago there wasn't, you know, you look up a psychic and that was some hack that was a snake oil salesman attempting to take your money. Mm-hmm. Now this today, I could be very comfortable in saying that you look up the Yelp and you'll find 500 healers, 500 psychics, 500 mediums, and they're legitimately accessing a source of information that can fundamentally help someone's viewpoint of their reality. And that's never before been, in my opinion, throughout human history, has that been accessible.
Do you feel that might be in part because the collective consciousness is rising as we rise?
Potentially. I mean, it comes down to even, you know, channeling and spirits and things of that nature. I mean, one of the fundamental trainings that we initially get as a Taoist priest is exorcisms and things of that nature. So dealing with the spirit world is very common for me, and I've been doing it a long time. But I will say it's a transmutation of the person's belief system. So I mightn't see a low vibrational, what someone would call demon, Satan, evil energy for decades. It's actually been over a decade since I've laid my eyes on one, because it depends on the individual's transmutation of that creates that and brings that into their reality. Now, what I am getting a fire sale on that I hadn't seen in close to 30 years is one alien after another. I mean, I'm not kidding you. In the last 8 weeks, I've seen hundreds, and it's really interesting because it's sort of like a collective.
How would you define an alien?
Well, they vary. Their forms. Like, for example, when I look at your aura, you have a bunch of angels moving in and out of your aura. Then there's this interesting character that has this sort of like, he almost looks like something out of, Lord of the Rings. Where he has this robe, and he's sort of, got this heavy robe on. I can't see his face, but he's operating in your field as a source of information, clearly. Mm-hmm. But the angel part is interesting. They're normally I see angels that are just hanging out. They're very sort of, you know, angelic. These ones are with swords and shields, and they're more in the business of dicing and slicing up other energies, a level of protection. This is interesting.
Taking care of business.
Yes. I mean, can you speak more of that, speak more on that in relation to how you...
I feel that I'm blessed to know that I, like many of us, have a wonderful hybrid energy and have lived on Earth many times, but on other planets many times, and in other dimensions, and just balancing all that energy. And the angels, I feel so fortunate, just really assist me and want to keep a clear lane of traffic open for me to be able to do what I came here to do, which is to help other people. To be able to wake up and embrace who they are and feel healthier and happier, be more in the now, Mm-hmm. Release past life energy that's not serving them. Find past life energy that uplifts them. But again, bringing everything back to now, because it's all to enhance now. And sometimes we're working with parallel life energy. We can be working to improve future. We can converse with our future higher self, which I think is just marvelous and trippy, because who's going to know you better than your own future higher self? So I do feel very fortunate that I do have just that marvelous team with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. You could slice that other energy with the robe as sort of an interesting one. It's sort of very, I guess you would define it as divine masculine, but it's a very large energy that has an emerald sort of, emission from it, which is really interesting. What's the relevance of that particular entity?
Let me just ask him, because he doesn't usually present in this way. And yes, that's wonderful to see that balanced divine masculine and divine feminine. Okay. He likes to present as being part of the earth, being like a middle earth being. Did you actually say Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's very clear. It's sort of like a transmission of how we perceive things is sort of generated within this.
Yes. He's also got aspects of a wonderful life that I had the good fortune to live, that was what I would call a parallel life to mine, where we were incarnated as two different human beings on Earth, but we overlapped by about 40 years. And he, again, just does beautiful protection, support, uplift, so that I can do what I'm here to do without a lot of interference. Yes, we're all meant to take care of our own energy and whatever that daily spiritual practice is that you each person can choose and just so enjoy. But some component of grounding to it, of clearing, of raising our vibration and frequency, of just, you know, tuning into what we're meant to tune into. And he holds that energy for me. So that's how he's coming through. I think he's many, many things in many ways. And it's interesting you bring up a divine masculine, because I am participating in a wonderful, beautiful course right now. Course doesn't do it justice, but it's a program for 11 or 12 weeks of just balancing the masculine and the feminine energy. And it's being done through the angels, as I work with a spiritual teacher to do that. And guess what week we're in? We're in masculine week.
yeah, it's very clear, but you know, as you probably realize, is pushing that threshold of that emotional state, and that you know, that emerald emission is definitely referenced to the liver channel, which is far more anger. So the threshold of releasing that, which sort of ripples back to spleen energy, which can be over and under for you. It's more representative of a maternal thing, but it can be in the excess transmute into anxiety, OCD, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that particular cycle, if as it unravels or what you're in, the realization of that emotion is going to be more apparent on a second-by-second basis. You probably already know this.
Now, I think that's very well put. And I feel we come here into human bodies to learn. I hesitate to even use the word limitation or limits, because I do feel we're limitless, but it is different being in a human body that does require sleep and food, it's and water, you know, et cetera, versus being on the other side when we're in our pure, pure soul form. Mm-hmm. So I think we do come to experience what can feel like limits and then realize we really are limitless and just beautiful, powerful beings. So to just go through that journey. And I also feel we come here to experience human emotions and to learn how to balance them, because we're not meant to get stuck in them, but we often can just absolutely be stuck in them and be playing old tapes that just don't make any sense anymore and be knee-jerking back into an overreaction to something. I think it was just perfect that I aligned with my higher self on a night that I took all the trash out with a little bit of effort. So let go of things that didn't serve me and then aligned with my higher self in such a profound, fun way, you know, to get to have that experience consciously. So, but the emotions really are, because there's so many wonderful high vibrational emotions, you know, we can really feel and just create more of that peace and the love and the joy and the gratitude and not have those just be platitudes. Often, people can be accused of, well, oh my goodness, you're just all unicorns and rainbows. Well, those have beautiful energy associated with them, but so do other energies. So just, you know, learning what they all are. And sometimes, as you know very well, sometimes we just need to send a demon on home or just have it escorted elsewhere, because it's not serving us. It doesn't need to be around us. There's not an alignment, and it just doesn't need to be there. So we just take care of business. And I think we need to do that in a very balanced way. Anyone that has gone through what they feel are psychic attacks, for instance, I think that's a very interesting topic, because what's really going on there and what's our part in it? Because we've got to own our power. And where's that fear and anxiety coming from? And why is our heart not open? You know, what's allowing that to go on? And just to be able to release things and declare our sovereignty often is what's, you know, what's needed to just stand in our power beautifully and just be focused on our path and what we need to be doing, and also know when to mind our own business. You know, we don't need to be off. I think that can happen often as we're spiritually waking up, is all of a sudden being aware of other dimensions, other realities. It can feel frightening. It can feel uplifting to the point where we lose track of daily life and don't have any balance. And it's just, you know, just constantly off into, you know, every podcast, every book, every energy healing, and just we haven't developed discernment, perhaps, and we haven't found our center of what's right for us.
Yeah, yeah. Now, always remind people, if you're emotional, you're suggestible, and part of the mastery, being able to discern or affirm what it is that you're experiencing, is, you know, put your personality aside. Mm-hmm. And that sort of sounds very almost unachievable to most people. It's actually very much an achievable goal. That's the first thing I teach people. Mm-hmm. Is how to take their emotions and put them in the corner of the room, roll over and play dead. That's the sum of your life experience. That's something that should not be altered or attempted to be manipulated by your desire for ascension. Yeah. That's on a different, you know, realization. So when you have a personality, that's just an expression of your humanness within this cycle of reincarnation, and enjoy that. But be able to, the more and more you play in this higher consciousness, the side effect of that is the personality tends to resonate and replicate the collective consciousness. And if you're obtaining this high consciousness from a minute by minute basis, the personality comes along for the ride. And then all of a sudden, all the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the things that you consider you're subjected to emotionally are less of. And, you know, it's so funny when I was talking to Tom Campbell, being a physicist, he, you know, you, most people you would assume as a physicist, they go right to, you know, the nuts and bolts, the ins and outs. And it was so funny. I mean, he could break things down to consciousness and as a mathematical sum and validate it. And that's great. I always tell people, you know, science is just a new language. I mean, I operate in Mandarin, which is a variable of a very ancient language that goes all the way back to Chinese culture that was generated with pictographs over 10,000 years ago that transmuted into the language that we identify with today as a variable. And so, you know, that's always really cool, but the reality is show me, right? And it's like, okay, all of this is conceptual and people get really excited. And what's most important for me is to be able to validate what it is that we're experiencing in this 3D reality, or it means nothing. It's just another sort of like brain fart, really.
You've got to ground it. You've got to stick the landing, like the gymnast doing that perfect Olympic routine. You've got to stick the landing.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, in all circumstances, whatever we sort of transmit as what we're sharing with others, it's like, you know, you know, PTSD, emotional states, really, quite frankly, I can show people an erasing of that in about 3 seconds, and it's like a state of consciousness, and it never returns, and they're like, well, that's weird. I mean, I've been on the couch of a therapist for 20 years talking and pontificating over the very problems that no longer I can't even find
recreating
the feeling or the emotion that's attached with that. I can recall it, but it doesn't exist in relation to the side effect. And, you know, it's a state of consciousness. Or, you know, if you play with just levels of trance, you know, take someone into a state that is so deep that goes what someone would call within a hypnotist sort of cycle of realization, a somnambulistic state where you just can't remember anything. And, you know, when you're in you meet someone in the same second I drop them into a trance and erase their name, take their wallet and keys and wake them up, and their friends are like, okay, what's going on? And they're like, yeah, when are we starting? I'm like, what's your name? And then I have their wallet and keys in my hand. So I'm waving it in front of their face. Their friends are laughing. And I'm like, so what is this? Are you missing something? And they're like, yeah, where's my wallet and keys? I don't know. Where are they? And this is just consciousness. This is that, you know, people get so afraid of what is the unknown. I mean, the definition of fear, right? But in reality, you're shifting into these states all the time. And then you're like, you haven't done anything. There's no hypnosis going on here, really. Okay, click. Oh, crap. Wow, these are my keys in front of me. And, you know, from a psychologist's perspective, oh, that's a reverse hallucination. No, that's a state of consciousness that I can qualify or quantify just by the power of the individual's ability to access that state instantaneously. People tend to be deterred by these type of like levels of trance because they believe that they look stupid or they're silly, or how easy is it that I can be suggestible? Actually, your ability to access this frequency and state of consciousness is the power you have within you. And then when you turn it around, you get them to see, oh my goodness, that's my ability. Yes, I'll just show you how to use it. and you can access anything, and that can transmute into a manifestation, magic, healing, whatever you want it to be. But most people are like, I don't know, I don't do that. I'm like, if you're watching a cell phone or a TV, you're hypnotizing yourself all day long. And so that's the
or someone who's driving and doesn't realize how they got to where they are. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm pulling into my neighborhood.
And an autonomous behavior. Right.
Last 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's an autonomous. Yes,
we certainly go in and out of different
of levels. These states. And so, there is absolutely, and I'll be very clear with the audience, they already know this, but there is a very clear difference between dropping into a somnambulistic state that's representative of brainwave, and I measure brainwaves all the time like this, that is bordering very low delta on the cusp of epsilon. That state of consciousness, even though it would not be translated to something that someone could physically remember, is an awakening. And then, when I channel anything, my teachers, i.e. Lhotse, who I've been channeling for 30 years, I measure brainwaves in excess of 100 to 200 hertz, which up to 5 or 10 years ago, the world would say that only 2% of the population could possibly access a gamma brainwave. And now it's just like the 4-minute mile. Well, if he did it, I can do it. And this then, it then becomes possible, as it should be, because it's just that validation of how is this happening? I mean, if I do a group healing or some type of like collective conscious awareness, how does that really work? Okay, so how does that really work from the collective consciousness? That's a very interesting word. It's funny how you're in a room, like I've had up to 1,000 people in a space. It's like, okay, I feel kind of warm and fuzzy inside. It's really funny. There's a level of energy that's raised between this whole group of people because they're there for one reason. They're looking for a healing. So they bring their mental, emotional, physical stuff into a state that is a raising of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And from a collective level, what does that really mean? If you want to get down to something very limited like neuroplasticity, soft technology that is the human body, it's a mirror neuron effect. So you're basically replicating everything around you. You're interconnected from a quantum physics model, which again is very limited. But let's just say you believe that because everything is a theory. Everything that you and I talk about is still a theory until otherwise, until you know it's
just someone has their own experience.
Exactly. And that's the most important thing. It's like, your truth is the only truth you need to be concerned with. And people go, whoa, did you just give someone the power to actually believe what they want, when they want, how they want, and their truth is the only truth? That's scary. And then you watch authoritarians rise because you can really understand that, that empowerment, as you would call it, sovereignty, however you want to call it, that's part of the power of you, of who you really are as a singular, as a collective, as the oneness.
And well, you're reminding people of their own power and of their own heart in a beautiful way that's gotten so diluted and so forgotten because many people can be, and hey, I've been guilty of it too. We're looking outside for answers and we really need to look within and just understand our own energy and keep putting our effort there. And then everything else just falls into place.
Well, that's very poetic. I love that. When you say look within, you see, this is very conceptual for most people. And most people, their brains explode at this point because they don't truly, process what we're saying. It comes back to that moment back in the 80s where Oprah had Deepak Chopra on her talk show for the first time. And like, this is this epic moment, she's the talk show, goddess, whatever. And he's there, it's like 80 something, whenever she started her talk show. And she goes, "Welcome, Deepak. I'm so excited to have you here," with the audience all excited and everything. "How are you?" And he's like, "Well, my body's here, but I'm not." And she went, "We'll get right back to you after a short break." Now, that is now today we talk about these things and people are like, "Oh, I kind of get that." You know, I was doing a meditation in my Zumba class. Oh, excuse me. Are you still there?
Yes.
Yes. I don't know what happened there. That was an interesting one. Somehow
your Zumba class really wanted you to come.
Yeah, the Zumba class really wanted to come. And now I feel very technically deficient. Let me see if I can get this. Here we go. Beautiful. Somehow this phone call turned everything off. So, yeah, I'm in the Zumba class, and I had this moment where, you know, people are telling me to look inside, and all of a sudden I got it was evoked, and I felt this experience. Wendy had talked to me about her Kundalini experience, and I was doing my yoga, and I felt this warm, you know, surge of energy, and, you know, poof. And I mean, that's from being in contact with your experience, right? Or your teaching or anything else. And now someone has raised their consciousness. Now, before that, though, we're talking 30 years ago, it's just like, we don't talk about that type of stuff.
You have to put a commercial break on because it's not going to.
Right. And now you and I are having this dialogue, having this conversation about it as if it's another day in the office. And it's right. Our realization, our truth. And again, so your truth is the only truth you need to be concerned with.
Let me make that more practical. Mm-hmm. I think it's just having that daily spiritual practice, whatever it might be. And I think that is the way, I feel that's the way that we just get any of that busy left brain or ego that's not feeling quite balanced, that can be very, very chattery. Very, very noisy, distracting, obstreperous, however it might feel, because some people have more active left brains than others. And there's just, it makes it hard to meditate, for instance, and to go within and to be able to have those conversations. So whatever you do, it can be walking in nature, it can be just taking a quiet walk for 15 minutes. If meditation just makes you bonkers and you feel like, oh, all I do is write my grocery list, you know, it makes me more agitated. It can be just petting your dog or your cat or playing with kids or grandchildren, because, you know, they're just so in the moment, both the wonderful animals and children. And they just remind us to just, you know, drop down on the floor and just be down there and be in the moment and not be so, oh, I've got to do this next and got to do that next. So it's just whatever you do daily. Maybe you like to drum. Maybe you like to draw. Whatever, auto write, work with oracle cards. I mean, it can be just anything that you enjoy and just gets that more of that feeling of calmness and peace to come in. That's what I mean as some of the ways to be able to go within.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it becomes a mastery. Mm-hmm. And I say that with very, very confident, with confidence, mm-hmm. because over all these years, consciously, past lives, all the of the above, the mastery makes everything more concentrated. So my observation, everything I've ever taught anybody, is when you start to focus your attention, intention, and are able to have a clear channel of this ability, which everyone has the ability to do, and mm-hmm. you just need guidance. Mm-hmm. Once you start getting that groove, something that, you know, 30 years ago might have taken me 20 minutes to obtain takes me less than a second.
Right.
So this practice is really the consensus of and I would concur with Wendy on this one. You know, it is repeatable. You have to make it repeatable. So what are some of the things that you offer your clients in relation to your healing offering?
Yes. What I work with clients on is releasing past life energy that does not serve them. And it often shows up as pain, both physical and or emotional pain, anxiety, depression, or just stuck energy, feeling like you're in second gear and just cannot get life moving in the way you want it to. So what we do, if we're working one-on-one, it's a series of three sessions, and we go to a healing temple typically first, because it's each person's higher self and guides are architecting it, because they know what that individual person most needs and what's going to be most efficient for them. Mm-hmm. But I'll describe the typical and know that it might be different than this. But healing temple, we bring in a series of colored healing lights, and I work with those lights to help the person heal through all space and time, any location they've ever been, any life form they've ever taken on. Mm-hmm. And then we work with the four elements in their body. So fire and water, earth and air, and get those wonderfully balanced if they're not already. And then we work with their chakra system. So the seven major chakras, as well as the minor chakras, because those are very important too, the chakra system, those on our hands and feet and other parts of the body. So just giving that person some energy healing so that they can feel that physical healing going on. And then we get them wonderfully connected with their guide. And certainly some people come to the session and have been working with their guide or guides for years, and that's great. But we still can receive a gift from that guide and a message from their guide. And many people are, conversely, many people are struggling and they feel like they can't connect with a guide and they would love to. Or maybe their guide is their own higher self. And that's why they haven't been able to connect. Like mine was a bit elusive, as I described. So I just wasn't feeling aligned enough in that area. So get that wonderful connection. And then for the person to know how they're going to do that on their own, because that's what's important, is for people to be able to be receiving empowerment through this, so that these are things that they can just experience. Yes, they're receiving healing and insight in the moment, but they're also going to be able to learn what's for them, what they're going to want to do more of, or they're going to want to do it a different way because it's coming through a little bit differently for them. Or it'll be like, that one's not so much for me. Well, that's important to know too. So healing temple, meet with the guide, and then we go to the time and place with the most healing and information and uplift for their life today. Because again, want to be bringing everything back to the present moment, because that is the whole purpose and point. Even though I am trained and love being a past life regressionist, it's really all about now. And that's
is that a method that you say past life regression? That's very popular. My goodness, again, I reference it, I sound biased being a Taoist priest, but thousands of years of ritual and training for what we call soul retrieval.
Yes. And
that would be equivalent to
exactly, you
know, a past life. I think what's become more popularized is this past life stuff. I normally give people, you know, the last nine lives. They just sort of sit in.
They're not a cat.
Position. They lay down whatever they want to do, and you know, they witness the past lives through their third eye, like a running film, and they experience it physically as it transmits through them. I mean, the question I ask you is, what type of method are you using? Someone by the name, I don't know whether you ever heard of this person, Dolores Cannon. Mm-hmm. Brought this sort of like
quantum healing hypnotherapy
more to a popular sort of state of awareness. Personally, I've been talking to her probably for the last 8 weeks in a complete sort of weird scenario where she's transmitting this sort of discontent with the current state of her methodology being represented today. I mean, that's a whole nother ball game when it would come to channeling. But in essence, that's the sort of thing that she sort of brought to the table, so people are far more in common consensus. Oh, I'm a past life regression coach or whatnot. Where did you obtain your consciousness for that? Was that
multiple ways? I trained with a gentleman in the UK who had trained with Dolores Cannon for quantum healing.
6 degrees of separation, right?
Yes. And then I trained directly with Dr. Brian Weiss for past life regression. Mm-hmm. And then I trained with one of Dr. Michael Newton's original students. And what for me, it's about taking from all of it, because I feel it all has something to offer. But I also chose to get training, and the training it's a tricky word. I think training is not the best vocabulary. English, you know, language can just not be sufficient. I think it's a re-remembering what the training is that you might be drawn to, and courses and that type of work that you might choose to participate in with others. And so did the Reiki master, did this certified spiritual teacher, did formal training as a channel. But again, it was all a re-remembering. And I wanted to sort out for myself the wheat from the chaff, because it's really about finding your own truth and what feels right in your heart and in your gut wisdom. And just to be aligning with that and vibrating there. So I drew from all of it, and I thought I was doing it for personal interest. That's how I really started, because I still had the traditional business career and the 9-to-5 job. So was incredibly just busy with work and family, but just had this passion once I met the soulmate that really helped me wake up and started, looking at all these different wonderful things that I just hadn't been involved with before in this lifetime in a conscious manner. So it was just, bringing that all together.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because Dolores is an interesting cat, definitely, without question. I say that in a very loving way, and
absolutely
not related to an actual cat. It's more a description of this sort of perception and this personality. Mm-hmm. And I had quite a few of her world-renowned students on my podcast from time to time.
I think she was a groundbreaker in a lot of ways, because
No. I mean, it's just a state of consciousness. The thing is her biggest gripe that continually she reiterates, she wants me to share with the world. At some point I'll sit down. The last deep conversation I had with someone was Bruce Lee about 3 or 4 months ago. And then I did a 2-part series of channeling with him. And that just so happened, like a coincidence, that it was on the 50th anniversary of his death, which was like, whoa, what are the chances of that? That's really strange.
Well, that's the energy aligning.
Well, of course. I mean, it's a
birth dates and death dates. They're really just the energy aligns like that.
Yeah. It's like reaching out, hoping that someone hears him. And then, of course, so many people were like leaving messages on the podcast going, man, I just was inspired to want to watch one of his movies. Yeah, because he's reaching out, hoping to have someone hear him. And then it depends on the level of your development, and you can really tap into this stuff. Mm-hmm. But Dolores's biggest gripe was that people are not, most people have coined this idea that, consciousness is raised, so you don't have to go into a deeper state, and you could still obtain the same information. I would say that's valid. With your mastery, and that's what I do right now. I'm sitting here talking to you. I'm actually sitting in the universe, sampling every energy possible in what would be perceived as the most euphoric DMT LSD experience to someone who's never had that before. But it's like a sensory perception wonder ride. But that's what I do all day long, is this, that's the state. Now, for someone who first experienced it, they would be like, this is a kundalini awakening, a realization, the energy freaking me out, my whole body.
Terms.
Right. And, you know, that's just my reality. That's just how I operate. And that's, you know, just the standard frequency that I operate in. And that's part of the mastery that we talk about is as you obtain more and more, as Wendy said, you know, practice your meditation or whatnot, some type of system that you gravitate to. And so when she says, oh, people are not dropping people into this somnambulistic state, which is just a trance so deep that potentially you're not going to remember, but you remember everything. Mm-hmm. It depends on how someone constructs that experience and mm-hmm. helps you realize that. So, you know, there's this sort of like standoff sort of thing where, oh my goodness, you're not doing it too deep. Like there's five stages supposedly to her method, and two of them are not being what she considers honored or realized or validated to create this super, what she calls the subconscious or unconscious, whatever. Yeah, I think that's what she called it. And, you know, it's like, okay, let's take a look. And then every person that I interviewed will tell me, oh, well, it's taken a turn of events where now every person that I do a reading on doesn't have to go as deep to obtain the information. And that doesn't really create confidence because in most cases, people don't believe that that's really happening to them, which is the, you know, misconception. So a lot of these practitioners,
ego can come in and object. And
well, yeah, perhaps. I mean, perhaps it's just how you frame the experience for that individual, right? Because it's happening right now. You can literally have someone experience whatever they want and have their unconscious, supposedly, well, it's really just a state of awareness, give you instant access. And so that's really powerful that you're using these types of techniques to help. And then, of course, you know, that's moreover for the audience, that was Wendy's starting point. Now it's more, and in, as she titles herself intuitive energetic healer, that's really where, you know, the mastery of her experience and expertise is coming in, is just being in tune. And so everyone starts with something. And then, of course, it just morphs into this organic now moment that really has no form or shape or, you know, ritual processes. It's mm-hmm. just you attuning. And that's why, you know, people gravitate to you and look for your awareness to help them create their own awareness.
And, exactly. That's a great way to summarize it.
Well, yeah, I just love that. I love being able to get into conversation with like-minded beings that resonate in that frequency, because the whole purpose of this experience is to create consciousness, collective consciousness, as Tom would put it. However we see it, if I can awaken, as you would put it, the kundalini within, the awareness, the intuitive access point to someone's realization by a passing brief moment, doing something that would seem impossible, a physical healing. I mean, that's generally what I've spent most of my natural born life witnessing, is these instant physical healings where you watch the flesh wiggle in front of your very eyes from something that could be a broken bone, a gash, a cancer, a whatever, and it will just disappear before your very eyes in seconds. This is the type of stuff that I'm used to witnessing, and maybe I've been spoiled this particular reincarnation, but it's generally the way or method of how I validate someone's, you know, experience, because it's all conceptual. So when you can shift someone's consciousness and they witness something that would seem impossible or unreal, then all of a sudden people go, oh, whew.
Beliefs have been shattered. Worldview changed.
I can't deny that. I cannot deny that. Or, you know, you give them a characterized information about themselves when you've only met them for a second, or, you know, it's like these are the things that shift people's consciousness, because human beings are introspective, analytical in their nature, negatively fear-based, as we put it, you know, fight or flight, however you want to define it. It's a default mechanism of survival. Reproduce, and live another day. That's about the sum of the instinct of a human being. And then, you know, you want to unravel that experience to a greater level of consciousness so you don't end up like Steve Jobs going, oh, it's much brighter than I thought it was. And then they're off to something else. And that's an interesting character in of himself, having met him many, many times in this natural born life. And it sort of transmutes into the realization of the very, you know, as some people would perceive, tragic ending within his physicality, but it's very representative of his emotional state, and that pretty much sums up who he really is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't even know whether you call it fortunate, but in any case, spent some time with that guy in a social setting. But in any case, it transmutes. You can look at it and go, oh, wow. This person was diagnosed with something that instantly creates, as Tom would say, a probability, because now you've raised your probabilities of actually changing the, you know, large consciousness system with a higher probability if you believe it. And so your attention intention generates a result. That's pretty much why I repeat the same sort of physical healings that I can witness. It doesn't matter what it is. It just happens instantly. This is the stuff that I've been looking at for over 30 years naturally in my natural born life, because it's kind of like you put your attention intention to the system and it changes the probability, as Tom would say. Mm-hmm. And raises the probability. It might be one in a million, but with your attention, intention, your ability to focus, it could go one for one or one out of 10 or one out of five or from a one to a million possibility. And that happens instantaneously. It's not something you sort of, you know, muster up and fire up over days, weeks, months. it's immediate. Because that's how everything works, you know. Right. People have been framed
it's
in
all the now.
That's reality. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's truly the nature of things. I mean, we can use all the different languages we want to validate what it is that we're experiencing, from science to metaphysics to you know Taoist metaphysics to Taoist spirituality to your spirituality to Hinduism to Yufism to whatever it is. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. It's like, just show me. That's all it comes down. That's a human sort of behavior that mm-hmm. will repeat itself. If you want to create an awareness, it's evoking that awareness is to give them an experience mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, that would be not the regular programming that they're aware of, not the regular programming that they're subject to, that creates this aha moment, oh, my goodness, this is unreal, which then that unreal turns into, I just witnessed this. I can't deny it. I'm going to go and tell five people. Those five people are then shifted with consciousness. Those five people tell another five people. And it just continues to ripple out. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Well, I have to go and see Wendy because I had this experience that was second to none. I can't qualify it as the mundane 9-to-5 reality that I'm into. I had this sensory perception, just like the charge you and I are having right now. That sensory perception is second to none. That this feeling of awakening something, I'm not sure what it is, but I feel it through my very being. And then you know, oh, this is where you need to be, my friend. Mm-hmm. You need to be in this stage of
that blossoming, that opening,
the age of Aquarius, whatever it is. But I want to really, in summary, just thank you for all that you've shared with us today, because it's been an incredible collective
healing. So appreciate the conversation and thank you for having me as your guest.
Yeah, no, it's been really, really, really incredible for myself. And I know the audience will get so much out of your understanding, your perception of how you generate your reality, which is there an offering for them to ponder, to consider, to realize.
Yes.
Now, in closing, I want to ask you this question. What is your definition of consciousness?
My definition of consciousness would be being aware of our heart, just being comfortable in our own heart and just being able to stand there and be who we are. And I think that just transmutes all time and space. For some people, it's that feeling of peace. Others more resonate with love or with joy, whatever that feeling is of just knowing who and what you are is beautifully eternal.
Yeah, that was beautiful. And in closing, I'm going to ask you the question, because I'm going to put all your social media under this podcast. It goes on YouTube, but moreover, the big bang is when we hit it on all 20 platforms. I think it's 20-something platforms this goes out to, which raises people's awareness. YouTube is an interesting organic sort of thing that's like a slowly moving up the hill. You know, I can get anywhere from 100 views to 6,000 views. It really varies, because all my material is of this nature. We're at an hour, 30 minutes. So I get really excited when someone actually wants to invest that amount of time to experience something that creates an awareness. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just 100 people watching that is mind-blowing to me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely mind-blowing. Or moreover, 6,000 people. But that's starting to incremental. It's sort of increasing on a day-to-day basis. But on all platforms, that seems to be very common. We get thousands of views and people download this stuff all the time, which is just absolutely, because it's affecting people's awareness. Mm-hmm. Just listening to our conversation and realizing that they may have had this moment for a second, for a minute, whatever, that correlates with what we're speaking of, that they can go, oh my goodness, there's hope, there's opportunity, there's something greater out there that I wasn't just telling myself in my mind. I thought I was literally losing my mind because I had no one to share this with. Mm-hmm. And I just heard this through conversation between San Ching and Wendy, mm-hmm. on a beautiful organic sort of like sharing and a very expansive experience. So in closing, what is going on with Wendy today? What are you offering to our audience?
Yes, what I'd love to offer to your audience is to join me for a complimentary energy healing with Q&A, and I can walk you through some various resources that are available, and you will find those on my website. So just go to the events tab, and there's different workshops that are offered from time to time too. Like next month, there is a workshop that's no charge on how to help you connect with your guide. So just visit the website at wendyrosewilliams.com and look on the events tab and see what might be available that just feels right up your alley and you'd love to participate in and enjoy more.
This is fantastic. I'm very grateful to you. I'm very grateful to the universe, to the Tao, to bringing incredible beings into my life and creating a new friendship, in my opinion. So, with that said, I want to thank you, Wendy. I want to thank the audience. And I am your humble servant and Sifu, Taoist Master Sun Ching. And I'll see you on the next one, guys.
Bye-bye now.